Welcome to FAB. I'm Mitch Lewis. I'm here with a very special guest today. Topic on the table is immigration. And I have the one and only Denise Lattanzi. And Denise, I have to look at it. It's the Desert Democracy Project. She is well-versed in issues of immigration. And our goal tonight is to find some solution to our broken immigration system, perhaps. Denise, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to be here.
I'd like to begin. I'm going to put you on the spot. This is kind of a little bit of a negative. My question to you is this. Under Biden and Harris, would it be fair to say that the immigration system was a little bit of a problem, bordering on a disaster? How do you view the Biden years in terms of immigration?
It's kind of hard to say Biden Harris because Biden was a president. We only do one of those at a time. And so any immigration problems would be his, but he did introduce a immigration reform bill that was shot down in 2023, I believe. I could look it up. I don't have the details in front of me, obviously, because I did absolutely no homework for this, but it actually takes Congress, the Senate, and the White House to really reform immigration. So basically what you have is a hodgepodge of different policies and people interpreting how best to incorporate them. His policy was not that different than Trump won, except for the fact that the border after COVID tended to open up a bit. So you kind of had a rush for it, and a lot of refugee applications coming through, and a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch of different countries trying to come up through Mexico because it was the easiest port of access. He did put together the CBP1 app, which sort of asked immigrants to, you know, apply for asylum when they were, to make them a little bit easier to process at the border. But, you know, coming out of COVID was kind of a mess, and I think that Biden's policy was a mess. There's no other way to describe it. But unless you get both parties to the table talking about serious immigration reform, it's not going to happen. And there's been absolutely zero will from the Republicans.
Denise,
since
I know
Reagan
that for sure. There needs to be bipartisan support to totally fix the immigration system. However, would it be fair to say, I mean, it almost seemed like the Biden administration planned it. They actually had 5.8 million illegal aliens come into the country, 1.9 more million in a period, 8 million since January of 2021. And, you know, the Republican view is they did it on purpose, and they didn't want to have adequate oversight of immigration. It was just a disaster.
That's
3.2
ridiculous.
Million encounters in 2023 alone. That's according to the RAND Corporation. And it just seems like Biden absolutely opened the borders in a way that was deleterious to our country and caused all kinds of problems. That's the Republican.
But wait. You're saying that they had 3.2 million encounters, Border Patrol did. Those 3.2 million encounters, we don't know how many of those people had just come across the border, how many of those people had already been in this country. When you're talking about just encounters with people who may or may not have legal status, you can't just use encounters as one of those things. Like I said, the border had been shut during COVID, right? I think we can all agree upon that. Shelter in place kind of policy that was first in impact.
Well, it seems to me that I think 75% of the people that were encountered by any aspect of the Biden administration, any element that was involved in immigration during the Biden years, 75% were just basically let go into the communities, and they caused havoc in some of the inner cities. Plus, everybody thinks, well, okay.
Wait. What do you mean?
Work on farms, and in reality, 95%, 98% of the immigrants that come into the country would go to inner cities. And I think New York had $4 billion in expenses and social services for immigrants.
Right, because they were being, these people were being picked up in states like Texas and put onto planes and flown to places like New York City, right? And dumped at airports in New York City by governors who didn't want to deal with their own problem, like Texas and Florida. So they would fly them to cities that these people had no contacts with, they had no support systems in. They're dumping them them off in New York City in the dead of winter, busing them to Los Angeles in the dead of winter, that is not a problem because immigrants are in general a problem. As a matter of fact, immigrants are way less likely to commit crimes than native-born citizens. So the problem was in housing and other things for these immigrants that were like, surprise, landed on the doorstep. We don't normally get those kind of influxes of immigrants like all at once. And you could say like Texas is a border state, California is a border state. Both of our states have an influx of immigrants at any given time. People that are coming across the border legally and overstaying their visas, people who are coming across the border illegally and overstaying the visas. The difference between California and Republican and Texas is California took responsibility for the fact that we have a border with Mexico, and Texas
and
did not. Texas
was
trying
system,
to make
the social services, everything that's going on in California from a fiscal standpoint, we've been overwhelmed as a Californian. We've been overwhelmed with the expense of illegal immigration, without question. Let me ask you this.
We've been overwhelmed with the cost of health care, just period.
Well, that's true. Absolutely. Well, that's a different issue, though. I mean, we're going back to Obamacare and health care for all and whether we can afford health care. But let's put it this way. Obviously, if we can't afford health care on our own, obviously letting 10 million people in the country, according to Rand and Pew and several groups that have researched this, clearly it wasn't something that we were prepared for and could adequately take care of, without question. Let me ask you this. If you were right now a headhunter, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris came to you and said, well, we're going to put down our performance on the border and what we did, we're going to put it on a resume. As a positive, as a plus, as something that we're proud of, would you not tell them that they ought to beg off that one because it was a disaster?
I would say really simply that this is an issue that every president has failed, probably since Ronald Reagan made a stab at immigration reform in the 1980s. This is not, you know, trying to make this a Republican problem or a Democratic problem is simply overlooking what the real problem is. The real problem is there is a supply and demand issue with immigrant labor, right? They're not going to come here if they cannot find work. So they're coming here, we're putting them to work in this country, paying somebody that's here illegally is a lot cheaper in a lot of respects for any industry that's hiring them, whether it's construction or meat packing or on farms. Yes, they're not all agricultural workers. Some of these people are highly skilled construction workers, but they're working for a fraction of what Americans are paying. So once again, it's a supply and demand issue. If there was no work here, they would be self-deporting. They have when the economy has collapsed before. When they couldn't find work here, they marched their merry asses back to Mexico. So
isn't that all the more reason to limit and make sure the border is closed? In other words, without question, 10 million, 15 million, however many people came here in the last 20 years, they're saying 10 million in the Biden years. Doesn't that depress wages? And again, businesses, even if they're pro-Republican, if they're the group that's hiring people at lower wages because there's a surplus of workers, obviously that's part of the problem. I agree with that completely. At the same time, doesn't that prove the point that absolutely the border should be controlled and there should be a finite amount of people? You know, we can pick the number and come up with a number of people that we can assimilate, come up with a system where we have green cards and a situation where we can get the agricultural workers that are needed. I'm all for cooperation in the area, but without question, the flood of people, there were like 30 caravans that came to our country. Now, obviously these caravans came because the border was open and they knew they could get in. Plus, once they get into the country, there's a smorgasbord of different benefits that they can get. And that's part of the incentive problem, is it not?
Well, here, first, you're kind of making an issue that Democrats want the border to be open. Of course, we don't want the border to be open. We want a safe and secure way that people can come into this country that allows us to track them. It's the same issue that you have with everything. Of course, we want criminal aliens out of the country. Nobody wants them here. But what we found is any attempt at rational immigration reform. And you can go back to Bill Clinton for this, right? Bill Clinton is actually kind of the father of today's immigration reform. His policies set up stronger enforcement, expedited extradition back to their home countries if they are arrested for doing certain crimes. But it left these huge gaps, like what do you do with immigrants with valid refugee claims? What do you do if, what do you do with children who are born in this country whose parents brought them here when they were 6 months old or 6 years old or 14 years old? At the end of the day, somebody that's a minor doesn't have a choice when their parent brings them here. So there were big, huge gaps in that.
DACA and Dreamers are two groups of individuals that we really need to take care of without question.
No okay, so here we are. We're finding areas that we all agree. And the whole thing is I think that if you get away from Trump did this or Trump did that or Biden did this or Biden did that, look, I absolutely disagree with what Trump's doing on the streets right now. He's picking up American citizens and other citizens. They're violating people's rights. They're shooting tear gas at American citizens. They shot the roof out from somebody who may or may not have been illegal in Ventura, and he died. You know, so there's all kinds of things that are happening under Trump right now that I could say are Republican problems. I don't think that they're Republican problems. I think they're part of a look.
We definitely want to get to the enforcement issue, and I'm going to give you fair game at taking a shot at that. Before we do, though, I do want to make a qualitative comparison. Is it not true that what Biden and I'm playing the blame game without question, Biden and Harris did was outrageous and awful, and what Trump has done has, in effect, closed the border? Right now, according to NBC News, border crossings have plummeted, ICE arrests have doubled. The number of detentions is at an all-time high. Basically, for all intents and purposes, the border is closed in a way that it clearly wasn't under Biden. And because of that, now we have a position of strength and can say, okay, the border's secure. Now we can come up with immigration reform and take care of the problems that exist primarily. According to Homeland Security, 2 million people have either been, I think 400,000 were apprehended, and 2 million total have been self-deported or apprehended and deported in the first year, the year's not up yet, of the Biden administration. Now, clearly that's taking care of the flood of immigrants that were overrunning the country. Would that not be fair to say?
I don't believe those numbers at all, not even close. Their own arrests and jail numbers don't back up those figures. So it's kind of like, you know, the whole, you know, Doge saved us billions and billions of dollars. And then you look back and you realize that Doge actually cost us money. And
the numbers that 60,000 are in ICE detention, and that of the people that have been detained since the administration took effect, 50% of them have either criminal convictions or criminal charges pending against them. Now, of course, administration and Democrats want to say, well, we're taking granny, and the Republicans are going to say we're taking only criminals. I'm sure there's obviously there's a true number there, but according to the
we have documented cases where they're taking granny.
50% of the people have either criminal convictions or a criminal charge pending. So they are trying. I think the beginning focus clearly was to get the worst of the worst, and obviously people that have self-deported, maybe they were not problematic at all, I'm not sure. But according to DHS, 2 million people have either been deported or have self-deported in this first year of the administration. Do you dispute those numbers?
I don't believe them. I don't believe them. There's no clear way that I can say I don't believe them, then I do not believe them. Not only do I dispute those numbers, I think they're just pulling them out of thin air. That's my personal opinion on it. I don't think that 2 million people have self-deported. I think that that's too big a number. It would be more noticeable in communities. I do know that there's a significant number of innocent people who've also been picked up and later released. But it doesn't matter. When you're violating people's rights, it doesn't matter whether you hold them for 14 hours or 14 days. You're still violating their rights. There's no quantitative figure in whether somebody's rights have been violated or not. So when you pick up an American citizen because they don't have their passport with them, there's a lot of American citizens in this country that don't even have passports.
I don't have one. I don't.
Yeah, much less keep it on him, but that's been the cause sometimes for picking up brown Americans is that they didn't have a passport with them. They had no way to prove they were citizens when a lot of people when they're at work don't have their ID with them. It just is what it is. It might be in a locker, it might be in a car, it might be whatever. There's no way to back it up. And it's not like they're just letting people go. As far as are they detaining grandma, they are detaining grandma. We know that just from the arrests in Los Angeles, they're detaining grandma. They're arresting people at their court, at the courthouses where they are trying to do it legally, which is exactly what the Republicans keep telling people.
Let me ask you though, if you have a court proceedings and you know someone already has a deport order, they've already been adjudicated by a judge that said you're out. Obviously, if they're in court, if they're actually in jail, the authorities would have the right to go get them. That's the safest
way
to
do
it.
That's absolutely not what's happening, though. They're arresting people who are on what they, you know, Biden put in place a parole status for people who were, especially for students that were, would have been covered under the DREAM Act had it passed. They're DACA recipients. They've been here forever. For a lot of those people, in order to become citizens, they must self-deport to their country of origin, and then they must have come across here legally. I know this has happened to people in my own family. My niece had to go to Mexico for 45 days, came back into this country legally after 45 days, and now she's here with a work visa and all that fun stuff, but she still has court dates, and it's people like her, exactly like her, that are being arrested at their court hearings. It's not Joe Blow from 20 years ago or somebody that had a self-deportation order. And there's lots of things. Lots of judges stayed those deportation orders and gave the people an opportunity to reapply.
Let me ask you, do you know what an FTA is in normal criminal proceedings? An FTA?
A failure to appear.
Failure to appear. Okay.
Yes.
If someone... And there's millions of them that have been caught and released and were given a court date. So they're in the country illegally. They're illegal immigrants, technically. They're given a court date. And, of course, they don't show up. Now, on that basis, obviously that type of individual probably should be deported. Do you agree with that? Or do you think that someone that is illegal, they come into the country, they're given a court date, and they basically blow it off and don't appear?
Let's be clear here. Crossing the border illegally is a civil penalty. It's not a criminal penalty at this point.
Well, a failure to appear is. A failure to appear, judges don't
charged,
like that
if
in criminal proceedings
if,
in the country.
If they are charged
to appear,
with,
they put
if
a really
they
high
are
bail
charged with
to
failure
court,
to appear.
They take you
if
custody.
I don't go to court and I'm not charged with failure to appear, I'm not charged with failure to appear. So if they're not charged with the crime, then, you know, it is... I don't even know how else to describe that. People who are operating in the shadows tend to operate in the shadows. That doesn't mean they're criminals. That doesn't mean anything else. Sometimes it's just simple lack of resources, lack of language accessibility. There's lots and lots of reasons why a lot of people who said, oh, they failed to appear said, I was never notified of a court date. How do you prove that they were? How do you prove that they were notified?
Well,
of
no,
a, court per, date?
A person, when you have a court date, it's like you're cited to court. There's a citation. If you get stopped in the street for some sort of a wazoo traffic violation that's more than just an infraction, the cop is going to give you an appearance, a citation that orders you to court. And if you don't show up in
it's
court,
not really the way
you
it works
are
in-
basically.
That's
with
not really the way that it works in an immigration court, though. That's the issue, is you're dealing with the criminal court. We're dealing with civil courts, right? That's
well, in
not
an immigration
always...
court. So you're saying that if someone comes into the country illegally, they're caught, they're given a court date to adjudicate whether or not they should be sent back or not, and they don't show up for it, your position is that they shouldn't be taken back into custody?
What if they were never in custody? Here's a really great example, and it's the number one way that people apply for citizenship, right? Once they're in this country, they come over illegally, which normally means not sneaking across a desert and climbing over a wall. It in general means flying into an airport, getting off a plane, and simply not going home when it's time to go home. That's the way the most amount of illegal immigrants have come into this country.
Overstaying visas, absolutely.
They have come in that way. And what happens a lot of times is they stay in the shadows for a long time, and then they decide that they want to, you know, apply for something. So they actually hire an attorney that files paperwork in court, And whether if they don't if they're not assigned a court date at that point, which is normally going to come in the mail, or God forbid they can't afford the tens of thousands of dollars that these attorneys are charging them, and they simply lose contact with the attorney that filed their paperwork, or worse, in a lot of cases these people are just scammed out of their money, you know, then they don't know that they have a court date. They're not following up. So there needs to be, at the end of the day, here's where I stand on this completely. I believe that anybody who was brought here as a juvenile should and has gone through our school system should, if they haven't been convicted of a felony, they should absolutely have the right to apply for citizenship. They didn't have any say whether they got dragged over here or not. And at the end of the day, most of them become very good, highly educated American citizens. That's what studies show. Immigrants are much more likely to send their children to college, for that to be the number one goal. So we get a good citizen out of that, regardless of how their parents got here. If you've been in the country for a long period of time, and the only obstacle that you have to filing for to becoming a citizen is a financial obligation, then there should be a way that we can facilitate their applications to be citizenships instead of the citizenship for sale thing that the Trump administration is trying to do, which is like, if you can buy it, you can have it. If you can't buy it, then go home. We don't want you. Because if we don't have a certain amount of immigration, we're screwed. I mean, as a people.
Let me ask you, as far as comprehensive immigration reform, one of the things that I've always thought is that there's got to be a number. And I know that sounds weird and like I'm trying to quantify something, but let's just say for the sake of argument that, well, let's start with 10 million people a year is way too much. We can't assimilate 10 million a year.
Right.
How about 500,000? Let's just start with that number. Let's just say for the sake of argument, we can easily assimilate, accommodate, meet our labor needs with between 500,000 and perhaps a million, something along those lines. Would you consider comprehensive immigration reform to include that type of a cap, if you will, but then strictly enforce the border so that people that go around the proper entrance get gigged and can't get in? I mean, immigrants, my great-grandpa came from Germany. Everybody is an immigrant on some levels. The question is, are they legal immigrants or are they illegal? Are they in the shadows? Were they vetted? Most ridiculous thing of all is during COVID to allow millions of people into the country and not have them in any way vetted and not have them in any way receive their vaccine. That was the reality of what was happening. If we had a good system with a reasonable number, and then the systems within immigration wouldn't be overwhelmed. There's a whole bunch of different groups within the country, asylum, things of that nature, that there's a finite amount of people processing them. And if you have 10 million people, they don't get processed. But if you had a finite number, a number that allowed us to get maybe half from the southern areas, maybe a certain amount from Canada and Europe, whatever, but some from Africa, but a number that actually gives us a group of people that we can properly assimilate and share the American dream with. I think everybody would be for that. I'm a conservative for the
most
part.
But I don't. See, I don't. We've tried. There's actually been immigration reform presented. We can go back to the Dream Act bill that Obama tried to get through. There have been several bills that did include quotas, right? Normally not even broken down by country, which I think is foolish. I think that since we share a border with Mexico and Canada, it seems to reason that we're going to see more of an influx of citizens from.
Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah, from our neighbors. I think yes, but I'm gonna throw a monkey into this wrench, and that's the fact that you can't always determine how many refugees there's going to be, right? How many countries?
Well, of course, world politics and world events might step in, but you'd have a kind of an at-large group based on political things that are taking place around the world, obviously. That would have to be factored in, I think, and I think most reasonable people would want that.
I think that that's saying, if you set a number, say 750,000, let's just grab a number out of the air, and this many go to Mexico and this many go to Canada, or percentage, you know, and then, you know, everyone else gets to take up the slack on the other end of that. As long as you are making amends for the fact, or making some kind of allowances for the fact that we can't determine global issues, and sometimes there are situations in countries like famine and civil war and things that might drive up numbers a little bit, like we saw in Rwanda or Somalia, you know.
Yeah, you have a large number, a certain amount that are for emergencies, whatever. You have,
right.
You don't go 100% of the 750.
I think
650,000 and you have 100,000 that are left open based on political things taking place around the world.
I think that makes an insane amount of sense. And I think that if we did something like that, it would give us the opportunity to more humanely deal with the immigrants that are already here. And there is the problem is, you know, I mean, Reagan tried it, actually had a decent amount of success with like giving people a pathway to become citizens that had been here for 10 years or more.
Reagan wanted to have a pathway to citizenship if the border was secured, but basically they never secured the border. They never funded adequately closing the border. And basically the Republicans kind of felt that they got taken for a ride on that deal. Again,
right, because
now that
there's
the border,
no will. There's no will.
That the border, would you agree that the border is essentially, I mean, there's undoubtedly always going to be somebody able to sneak into the country. But would you agree now that because of what the Trump administration did, for all intents and purposes, the southern border and the border in general has now been closed and
is
secure?
I don't think it's closed. I think that there's people coming in today across the southern border. They're finding ways to get in. They found
tunnels.
But
it's very small. Compared to what was happening during the Biden years, would it be fair to say that it's...
Well, people were coming over at open border stations, and this is the issue with this is the main issue with the way that we handle immigration, right? You close the door, you know, and when you close a door completely, there's all kinds of people that are going to pile up against the door. If I close the door, my mail's going to pile up outside.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's like it just
I don't
is
think we want. I mean, I don't think. It's fair, it's right, it's what's good for America to close the door completely. We just want to have we want a wall with a door, not no wall, no door, and just being, I mean, there were 15,000 people in a caravan coming. And again, Trump comes along and says, we'll have, stay in Mexico, you can't come into the country. And Biden just, as soon as he took office, he got rid of that. And that was one of the best deals ever. If you can't come into the country, that put pressure and created a situation where people really didn't want to come if they couldn't get into America, because they realized if they couldn't.
But they were here. They were sitting
in America.
They were sitting in Mexico and
out.
Being trafficked. It's not like they weren't here. They went all the way up to the border and then stayed in these tent cities in Mexico where they were prey for sexual predators and all kinds of stuff.
That's something that needed to be dealt with without question. But again,
so it wasn't like they weren't there waiting. And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, is those people were eventually either going to find somebody they could pay to bring them in, or they were going to go back to their countries of origin, or they were going to get preyed upon. I don't think that Trump handled it the right way. And here's the thing. I don't think that you can build a wall if you know that there are just as many people coming in by boat and airline, right?
Well, there's
or
a whole
more.
Bunch. When we
there's...
say secure the border, I'm not sure if you're aware, when you do border enforcement, it's not just the border. You can have border checkpoints 100 miles inland. In other words, any port of entry, any way via plane,
I
via boat,
I travel a lot,
via
I
a
know.
Wall, via the border. Essentially, those have to be monitored carefully. And I think now this is something the Republicans need to do. You've got your dream of having the border relatively secure. Now it's time for, and I'm a Republican, I'll get in trouble on this. I don't mind, theoretically, I'm going to call it a pathway to citizenship. If you use the word amnesty, that's politically bad news. That's going to hurt you politically because it has a bad connotation to it. I think that obviously getting rid of the worst of the worst and those that have snuck in illegally and overwhelmed our system, I think we need to right the ship in that regard. At the same time, those that have been here for longer than 10 years that are in effect granny at the market and at the hotel and on the farm, I don't want them thrown out of the country. I want them to have a pathway. Now, granted, because they snuck in, there needs to be a penalty. At the same time, when you have wink and a nod for years, there was no real enforcement. It was like, I always use the analogy of betting on the Super Bowl. Betting on the Super Bowl is illegal. And if suddenly, 10 years later, everybody that bet on the Super Bowl was thrown out of the country, not allowed to join the army or the police force, I would say that lax enforcement being changed drastically 10 years later is inherently unfair. So for Granny, who's been here for 10 years and came at a time when there was a wink and a nod, no enforcement, I think that, to me, requires an accommodation. Let's hope that that can happen. Denise, I really appreciate your attitude more than anything. You're a good gal. And I hope that you can see a fair amount of goodness, even though if it's misguided conservative goodness on my side, I apologize. I can't help it. Let's come up with a solution. I hope, and I even was going to, I actually called the office of a Republican politician who had signed a letter. I think it's time to make a deal on immigration. I think that for all intents and purposes, the border secure, I think we need a deal on enforcement. You know, the notion, if they would just allow for detainers, if you have a valid ICE detainer and the person's in jail, you shouldn't let that person go. Turn them over to ICE. Otherwise, ICE is going to be pounding down the doors and doing things that are inherently dangerous. But that's because the tactics of Democratic cities are a little bit ridiculous. I mean, I used to work in jail, and if someone had an ICE detainer, if someone had some sort of an issue with the FBI, when they were going to be released from county jail, they would be given to the agency that had an issue with them. And that's the way it should be. To not do that puts everybody in danger. And let's search and hopefully find the greater good in all this. Any parting shots, last things that you'd like to impart with our audience? You've been a wonderful guest.
Well, I think that a good border policy is humane. It doesn't cast so wide a net that you're trampling the rights of American citizens, you know, along the way, or people that are here legally. There are a lot of people who've been picked up who have valid green cards. They are talking about deporting people that are actually legal U.S. citizens just because they didn't like something that they spoke up about. And that should be a bridge too far for any decent American, right?
If you are someone that supported Hamas, if someone had murky How? Immigration status and they spoke up and rallied behind Hamas, do you think How? They should be deported?
What? How? Just saying, don't murder Palestinians is not supporting Hamas.
I just said if someone was supporting Hamas, which is truly a terrorist organization that is killing innocent people in Gaza now in retribution for perhaps being in the wrong neighborhood and taking a candy bar from an Israeli Defense Force person. Again, Hamas is awful. And if you're here as a guest student, and you're involved in any kind of criminality, in any demonstration,
I'm not talking about a guest. I'm talking about somebody with a valid green card.
I would revoke that green card.
Somebody but here's the thing, that allegation they support Hamas has been applied to people who did nothing but speak for Palestinian rights. And there's a huge difference between the average Palestinian and Hamas. There are people of Palestinian with Palestinian roots that strongly support their people.
Denise, I think we have our next subject. I think we do. And I think you'll be a wonderful spokesman. And I think you have a lot of things worth considering. And I really value what you have contributed to FAB. This is FAB, Freedom and Beyond. This, of course, is Denise Latanzi. Denise, tell us about your group. Plug your group right now. Plug your group.
Desert Democracy is a good government organization. So we promote all kinds of different things, from voter registration to community organizing, food drives. But at the end of the day, we do tend to celebrate causes that are more progressive or democratic in nature. We support events like Democrats Night Out, which actually isn't just, as you saw, it's not just Democrats that show up. It's all kinds of people from the left side of the spectrum. But basically, we're here to support a community that for a long time people didn't want to acknowledge existed. We do everything from Pride Nights to, you know, like giving food away to, you know, hosting young people in having civil and teaching them how to have civil discussions across the political spectrum. We also watch city council meetings and stuff just to make sure that the Brown Act's being filed. And, you know, we teach people how to file freedom of information requests that are looking to get information about certain issues that have happened in their government, whether it was a Democrat or a Republican that did it. People need to know how to hold their city leaders and state leaders accountable for their behavior. So Desert Democracy Project is on the front lines here in the Antelope and Victor Valleys doing some real work. And I'm really proud of it.
Denise, thank you so much for visiting with us. That does it for this edition of FAB. I'm Mitch Lewis.